And welcome to another episode of the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we cover all things geeky. This is episode 33, and I am your host, William, known as Poetic Soul 44, and I'm joined with my co-host, Stuart,
known across the internet as Casual Terror,
and a very special guest, the Ace Black.
What's going on, fellas? What's going on?
Wait
a minute, you're not Nox.
Yes, right now, Nox is unavailable, I guess, and maybe we're hoping he'll come in and be able to come in shortly and we'll be able to add him, and through the magic of editing, it'll all work out. But, I guess we can just go into the show topics. The first, being the Halo Reach, Defiant map pack. I haven't really looked too much into it. I saw the video they released of it. Basically, very humorous. Bungie really knows how to make trailers and make you, interested in their, basically in their game or their content. Did you guys see any details about this?
I haven't, but I know for one thing, from what Nox was telling me, the map pack that the actual trailer of it, he says, I haven't seen it yet, true enough, but I understand that it was a heck of a map pack as far as the trailer, as far as them trying to market the map pack, but I haven't gotten too much information on it, though, but I'm hearing it's going to be pretty darn good. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, the trailer I saw was, like, most of it was just a bunch of epic beatdowns, basically. People jumping from high places, basically just meleeing and killing and just funny moments. It really didn't seem like too amazing. It just seemed humorous. At least that's how I felt. Right. Stuart?
As big a Halo fan as I have been in the past, I've fallen off Halo. Like right before Halo comes out, I'm really into it. But right after it comes out, I fall off. So I didn't buy the last map pack, and I don't think I'm going to buy this one, but it looked cool. That's all I'm going to say. And it looked like explosions.
Yeah, see, I just recently purchased Reach again, and it was $20. I couldn't resist. It was too good of a deal. And, I'm probably going to try to go through Legendary and get those achievements. Legendary solo, I should say. I got the co-op ones, but
you made fun of me for buying Dragon Age twice.
Okay. Well, no, you bought it twice when you already owned one copy of it. That's different. I traded mine and then I just bought another copy.
It was just $100 kind of off for all the DLC, so kind of had to go with that.
Yeah. True. What were you going to say, Ace?
Well, the one thing I want to mention is that be careful when you buy games twice. I try not to do that because I used to have a horrible habit of doing that. So what I try to do is when I buy a game, I just set it aside because I look at it as an investment. Because, man, if I trade it in, I guarantee 6 months, maybe a year down the line, I'm going to want to play that game again. So.
Yeah. The main thing for me was I really enjoyed Firefight in ODST. I mean, that was one of the best things ever. But when they added the being able to create your own modes, basically you could play God mode.
Right.
That took took the fun out of it for me.
Yeah.
Because where's the challenge when you can just play God mode and kill everyone and never die,
Yeah.
True.
I mean, the challenge with, say, Gears of War Horde mode is having a challenge, going through wave after wave, knowing that you could all die,
Right.
Yes, but then there's the patience challenge of actually getting breaking the game, because that was possible. Like, you actually could get up to a high enough wave where it would actually break the game. But it took hours.
Wow, that's crazy. But, I basically just traded it to get Call of Duty Black Ops, because... everyone was playing it. I swore I was not going to get that because of Modern Warfare 2. All those glitches had me just pissed off. But you know, everyone was playing it, so I gave into peer pressure. And
yeah, it was a new kid on the block, so that's understandable. So,
but yeah, but I got Reach again, or will get it in the mail sometime soon. I don't know if I'm going to get the map pack or not. It just depends on if everyone's playing it.
I probably won't get it day one, but I'm definitely interested in checking out the map packs, because from what Knox was telling me, he was saying that these map packs are pretty much off the Richter scale as far as how they look and how massive they are. So I'm curious to see what they're all about. So I'm eventually definitely going to check them out.
Yeah, I mean, besides, you know, you and Knox and occasional other person, I haven't really seen anyone of my friends just play Reach in a long time.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, everyone just goes back to Black Ops. And
yeah.
Especially with the new map pack that came out for that. But, you know, I got Halo Reach, so, you know, if hopefully there's a, you know, dull gaming period during the summer or something, and maybe the map pack will be on sale then, and I'll grab it.
Right.
But, yeah. Next, we got the Killzone 3 Limited Edition bundle, PS3 bundle. Basically, it's a 160 gig PS3 with Killzone 3, and it's $299.99. That seems like a good deal, but I really would expect some more from, you know, a Killzone 3 bundle, like a Bluetooth maybe?
Right.
Or just something more than just the game and the PS3.
Now, you know Sony's not going to do that. They don't.
Well, I mean, they're making a special box just for the bundle, so.
Yeah, because that's all they're going to do. They're going to give you a nice, pretty box, but I guarantee they're not going to give you. They're still not going to give you a high definition cores, and I don't see a Bluetooth coming with it, to be perfectly honest with you. But as far as this, it's definitely a good thing, because I think this will definitely market the system and it will definitely sell units. This is my first time actually seeing the box now, so that looks pretty damn cool. So I don't think why they wouldn't sell units with this game, and as far as the look of it. So, but yeah, it would be nice if they put a nice Bluetooth in it, but you know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, or like you know, their marketing, they can do 3D. Why not give us a Hellgas a mask that can do 3D, that can, you know, or is doubles as 3D glasses? That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would.
Wearing a Hellgas mask while you're playing. I'd do it if I had a TV that did 3D. But yeah, it just seems a bit empty. Like there should be something else. But I do believe Knox is actually picking this up. Unless he changes his mind, that's what I've been seeing.
Yeah, he definitely is. From what he's telling me, he's tried to get one tonight, and he said there wasn't any sale. So he's definitely talking about picking it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I was going to get a PS3, I think this would be the one I would get, because, you know, Killzone 3 is the hotness. So that would be the game I would end up getting anyway.
Alrighty.
But I'm not going to anytime soon.
you need to save up towards one, Stuart. A lot of great games you're missing out on.
Yeah, but... You know what? I might be going to BlizzCon, so I'm definitely saving up for that.
Alrighty. Fair enough. I bet don't you get a special little pet from BlizzCon?
Sometimes it's different.
That's what I've heard from other podcasts. I just imagine you going there and getting your pet and being the happiest in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 just came out. It's been like 11, 12 years since the second one?
Yeah.
Something crazy like that?
Yeah, it's been about, I would say at least, I think 11 years since the second one, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Yeah, and so the third one came out, and I know I've been hyping this game. I've been just looking forward to it like no tomorrow, because I love Marvel, I love Street Fighter, and... You know, I just love fighting games, and I remember back when they were released, they would release like new character trailers. I would end up watching them, and seeing, like, they would show, you know, that they introduced, you know, Super Skrull was coming in, or, you know, some other character. They would release, like, two trailers of each of them fighting, like, every few weeks or something like that. It was a great way for them to hype the game up.
Now, have you, you've got the game, right? Have you picked it up?
Yeah. We battled each other.
Oh, yeah, we did. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You hate my Arthur.
Yeah, you're the one that got the jacked up Arthur. Okay, I remember. Tell me your thoughts on it. I'll let you know my thoughts.
I really like it. It's a lot different than Marvel vs. Capcom 2 because they've just made it a lot more simpler. I mean, even the normal mode is just you got three attack buttons and then your special attack button. I mean, basically you're just four attack buttons and then your assist buttons. Right. That's it. I mean, there's really in all, you know, you do the quarter circle, the fireball motion basically, and all the characters do something, but they just do something different. It's just they changed it to where someone like Stuart, who's never played, who doesn't really play fighting games, could jump in and get, you know, real used to it and actually have fun with it.
Right.
Especially the simple mode. I haven't actually tried that, but I've looked through the instruction booklet because it's one of the games that still has an instruction booklet, and I just had to, you know, look through it when I first got it. But the simple mode's really, I mean, simple.
Yes,
it's like crazy. It's like press button to throw fireball.
Exactly.
I my brief time with Street Fighter 4, I could throw the fireball. Now, give me anybody else, I couldn't do the special moves, but I could do Ken stuff.
Yeah, and that's basically all you would need to do to play this. You don't have to, like, say, what is it, Chun-Li in Street Fighter, you don't have to charge or do any of the crazy combos, you know, like you would in Super Street Fighter 4 or Street Fighter 4 with the charge character. It's just basically the simple stuff.
Right. Yes, but with this one, it's, you know, the knock up in the air, do a bunch of air combos, switch characters, bunch of more air combos, switch characters again, more air
combos. That's actually easy to do. That's not really too difficult. It's basically a button to do.
And then there's a counter to that, and like,
It's basically a button to do the air combos.
Yeah, from my understanding, you just basically knock them up in the air, and it's a button just to switch everybody in and out, am I correct? Because that's what I normally do.
Like with my I use the regular 360 controller because I just think it's better than Fight Stick.
So
I think the Fight Stick's more for, yeah, and it's just, you know, left bumper, right bumper. At least that's what I have it set to.
Yeah, me too.
So
the thing about when I played it, it's pretty fast. It's really fast and frenetic. But the game itself, I mean, to me, it feels like it feels more natural with the controller because you have more things at your fingertips, and that's what this game is kind of built for. I can use the Fight Stick on it, but I had more control when I used the controller. I like the crazy stuff that they do. I like the fact that you can just hit one button and they will do something different. You don't have to just rely on a certain move for them to do something different. That's what I liked about it. But the only thing is that, God, they need a spectator mode. And that's the only reason why I say the game is maybe overpriced, because they don't have that. But I guarantee they're going to patch it. They have to patch that, because right now we can't have a Friday Night Fights because of that, because there's no spectator mode in it. So that's desperately needed. But other than that, I'm really enjoying the game. I got my butt whipped quite a bit by Golf Rat. I mean, he's pretty damn good, and Phoenix is good. I beat Phoenix one time. So you heard that first. I did beat him one good time.
don't forget about me.
Oh, yeah. You're pretty good, too, with that freaking Arthur. Oh, my gosh. One thing about Arthur is that you don't know. He's small, so when you try to hit him, he's already coming at you with something. It's just, he got on my
nerves. And you don't expect much from him because he's such a silly character. Exactly. Like, the way he runs and, I mean, he gets to a point where he'll lose his armor and he'll just be in his, like, heart-shaped boxers. I mean, and he'll be fighting you in boxers. It's just, it's so silly, but he's a good, at least I've been able to use him pretty well.
Yeah. So
him and, Ace, what's your three characters you use?
I have two sets of characters, two sets of teams that I use. The first team that I really enjoy using right now is the Hulk, because I use him in the old, I use him since the Dreamcast days. The Hulk, Captain America, and who's my third? Oh my goodness, this slipped my mind. Hulk, Captain America. I believe it was Magneto that I also use. And my other ones, as far as the guys I like to slice and dice with, is Dante, Taskmaster, and Deadpool. Definitely like those three. But I'm really, for some reason, I'm really enjoying the Hulk and Captain America. Oh, and I like the She-Hulk, too. She's pretty rough.
Yeah, I use, I have two teams as well. I use, one team is Arthur from Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah.
Super Skrull from Fantastic Four. Yep. I believe. Yeah. And, Dante is one, team. And then the next would be, I think, Wolverine, Deadpool, and who else? I think Dante again, because Dante can just do so much. He's just ridiculous. I think he's overpowered.
I think that was the main consensus when they made this game, was to make him overpowered. Him and another one that's kind of over the top, believe it or not, is Chris Redfield. He's over the top too. The things he can do.
Really, yeah. I haven't seen much. I haven't really seen a good Chris Redfield yet.
Oh, I've seen plenty of them so far. The things that he does is just kind of crazy.
Then again, I can't really get into an online match because the system's kind of messed up.
Now, how does Mon and Spider-Man? Is he any good at all, or is he just don't use him?
To me, Spider-Man is the cheapest character. That's just me, because he gets, when he comes at you, he's low. He's a very low character, and he basically has all those web moves. So he puts you in the web, he'll trap you and stuff like that. But to me, he's one of the cheapest characters in the game. That's just me. Who was the other character you mentioned?
I only mentioned Spider-Man.
Oh, just Spider-Man. Yeah, but he's the cheapest one. But I think another good character to use that I also think is cheap, but if you just want a button mash, is the Sentinel. I mean, he does all types of crazy stuff too.
Oh, there's a combo you can do with Sentinel that basically he just hits you and juggles you, and it's just an infinite thing.
What?
It's really bad. Yeah. I haven't been really able to get into many ranked matches because the netcode is just horrible so far. I mean, they need to patch that, too.
Oh, really? So you're having problems going into the ranked matches?
Yeah. I mean, I'll do, same, same language, same rank, whatever. Nothing. It'll just say, can't find a match or lost connection or something, and shoot me back to the main menu, which that really sucks. It shoots you back to the main menu. Instead of just giving you the option to retry like you did in the other games, and then I'll do any, and it, same thing. It's hard, and I've heard other people have the same complaints. It's just really difficult to find online matches right now.
Wow, I did not know that. So
have you been having success?
No, I've only been playing you guys. To be perfectly honest, I haven't went out there. I went out there one time, and it was okay. And I got my butt handed to me because, I mean, the moment the game started, the guy was hit me with like a 40 move combo. It was just ridiculous. But as far as random games, I haven't tried. I've only been playing with you guys, so that's kind of disappointing. I mean, you don't have spectator mode, and then you have that. This game can die pretty quickly. Street Fighter Floor is still the kid on the block right now, so they got to really come with it. They got to patch that pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I expect them to. I mean, they're coming out with new character packs in March, I think.
Yeah.
I think two of them.
Yeah, and from my understanding, I think if you would have reserved them from, I think it's Target or Best Buy, you would have got them free. But if not, you got to buy the two characters, and I think they're $10 or something like that.
It's like Jill Valentine and, I can't think of that, the Squid Dude, I think, from the second one, I'm not mistaken.
Okay, yeah, I don't remember, but I know who you're talking about. Oh, my other character was Akuma. That's who I use. I like Akuma.
Yeah, I do gotta say, I'm never gonna 100% the achievements on this game because those missions are harder than crap.
Oh yes, absolutely.
I can't do all of them. I mean, I can do maybe half of some characters, but it gets pretty complex.
Oh yeah.
I like using the controller because the buttons hit right, but that joystick still is a bit hard to, you know,
yeah,
use directional wise. So it's, you know, you're damned if you use a controller, you're damned if you use a joystick. But
yeah, and like I told Golf, I use the controller for this particular fighting game because I was using it since the Dreamcast days. I was really using it since then. I mean, I remember I was using it at that time. I was using it since the old PlayStation days or such and such. It's natural to me. That's why I knew all the Hulk's moves. He said, man, the Hulk is the strongest character. And I know his moves. It was just that natural to me. So I just think the control is better. But I use the fight stick for Street Fighter, of course.
Yeah, same. They've really, I mean, you say you know all of his moves, but it didn't confuse you a bit since they did change the whole scheme from the second one?
Not really. Only when I use different tier characters that hasn't been in the Marvel vs. Capcom games in the past, but the ones that I was used to using, not really. Maybe just a little bit, but it still felt natural to me.
Yeah, I mean, it did confuse me a second, but it's like I said, it's a simple game. It's real easy to get used to. I mean, I just started to jump in and do the arcade, and that was playing the arcade mode was basically my tutorial.
Right.
I didn't go through the training or nothing to start with. I just went on arcade, and I do like the arcade mode because it transitions into each battle really quick.
Right. Did you have a hard time with Magneto? Not Magneto, but Galactus.
A couple times, yes, but then he can do some cheap stuff, like like when he uses his hands to cup you together, you know.
Yep.
And then pick you up and throw you, but fairly quick, I learned you just start, you know, doing fighting moves, and you can break free from that. And you can also use your assist button to bring in a character to attack him while he's got, you know, he's focused on just you.
Now that I didn't know. Okay, cool. I did not know that.
Yeah, I figured that little trick out, but I think IGN has the Inside Xbox video on ways to, you know, beat him or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, there's something online about that.
But that trick with the assist, that's not on there, so that's... from me.
I think what I didn't like is that when he's doing those cheap moves like flicking you and stuff like that and shooting that damn laser, I didn't like the fact that when you do your ultra move, he could flick you right out of it. I mean, so it's just a straight button mash. It's just button mash and pray. You just got to hope you take him down. That's what I hated about it.
And you can jump up higher. You can jump up like and attack his head when he's trying to, you know, flick you, or you can jump up over that stuff. It's just you got to do it at the right time.
Right.
But the thing I hate is when he does that that like attack where it like basically covers the entire screen and it's like 100-something hit combo.
Yep.
Because you're done for no matter what. There's no blocking. There's no jumping to avoid that.
Yeah.
You got to like I don't know. But I'm definitely enjoying it. I tweeted earlier that last week was just, you know, messing around, playing with it, getting the feel of it, and this week I'm going to be training and working on the moves and stuff because, you know, I'm seeing people getting really good at it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, people who aren't necessarily good at the other fighting games because it's a different game, really.
Now, let me ask you this. Street Fighter or Marvel vs. Capcom?
As far as which I like better?
Yeah.
I would still say... I don't know. Because that's a tough one because... As far as the gameplay, right now, I like Street Fighter because it's got the spectator mode.
Right.
But as far as like the actual content they give you, it's got to be Marvel versus Capcom because the audio is just amazing. I mean, each character's themes are pretty awesome.
Yep.
And they interact with each other so well. I mean, you'll get what is it? Like Felicia will yell at Iron Man, and she'll call him Tony or something like that.
Yeah, no, I think that's cool.
And I mean, all the characters just interact, and that had to have taken a lot of time and a lot of recording to get all that to work.
The reason why I asked you that is because of the simple fact that I know you were a controller guy. I can see people that like using the controller more than the stick liking Marvel vs. Capcom better. I just, for some reason, I do.
Yeah. I still like Street Fighter because, you know, I grew up playing Street Fighter mostly. Oh,
okay, that's different. And I hear you.
There's more strategy to it.
Right.
Like I said before, Stuart could get in and play Marvel vs. Capcom easily, and he could end up whooping both of our butts.
Right.
Probably. Really?
Yeah. No, Derek, that's serious. You can probably get this game and play it and learn it for about 30 minutes. I say 45 max. And you can compete with anybody, but you can go out there and you can give somebody a fight. I can guarantee you that.
It's like Ace said, Phoenix. I don't think Phoenix plays any of the Street Fighter games, but he was owning in Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah, he's basically the Marvel vs. Capcom player in tag. I mean, from what he says, hardly anybody can beat him. I mean, that was his game. And he had like a 20-game win streak, and we played each other for the first time when he had that game, and I whooped him. I came back and I actually whooped him with the Hulk, and he was like, wow. And he was like, well, we're going to get a rematch. I'm telling you right now, you can learn this game and get three characters that you really enjoy using, and you can stand up with the big boys. Guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of your favorite characters, Deadpool, is just amazing in this game.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
He breaks the fourth wall, like, constantly. Well,
that's what he does. That's what makes Deadpool awesome.
I mean, when he teleports, he says BAMF. BAMF. Like in the comic. Or when he dies, he yells, you pressed the wrong button!
Yep. So it's pretty cool. And I don't know if you've seen it or not, but he has this ultra that is so funny. He basically walks up to you like a woman, and he like acts like he's about to blow you a kiss, but he hits you with a huge,
and there's
like,
hearts everywhere.
Yeah,
around
you seen
him?
That? Oh, that is so funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. And when he backs up, he moonwalks.
Yeah, he backs up. He moonwalks.
Awesome.
He's just an amazing character, and even his story ending breaks the fourth wall. I mean, everything about him breaks the fourth wall.
Well, that's what makes Deadpool awesome.
Yeah, but
I'm definitely gonna get this from GameFly.
Oh yeah, I was gonna suggest you do because, I mean, it may be a way for you to get into the fighting games. Maybe, I mean, it's a really fun game, and there's some really good characters in it. But yeah, I still, as far as game wise goes, Street Fighter I would stick with. Yeah. I really do hope they patch it though, because they need to fix the matchmaking system and they need to add spectator mode.
They have to patch this game.
Because I mean, right now you can just see the people who are battling their health bars for each of their characters. Like basically, you see like their gamer card or something. It's basically a gamer card type deal, and you see three lines of health, one for each of their characters.
Yeah, and what is it? It's kind of depressing because you see them, you see it like going down and down, and then you're like, man, look like one of your characters are getting a whooping, and that's all you can see.
And you're in a party with them, and all of a sudden you hear, oh my god, that was sick, dude! Wow! And you're like, what? What happened? it's frustrating.
It can be depressing.
Yeah, but I do like how they have the reserve where you press Y to reserve your spot.
Yeah.
So you know, say like we've had it before when we've done the the big parties where Golf Rat or someone's like, okay, I'm going to let the next two because I'm going to go and I'm going to take a break or something. One of us has to, click the button and wait, 15, 20 seconds for it to kick Golf Rat out?
Yeah.
Well, you can just press the Y button again and you drop automatically to the bottom. So yeah. that is good for, switching out, you and me can fight and then we can drop and then let the next two fight. So I could see maybe a smaller Friday night fights, like different lobbies doing that.
Yeah.
Like maybe a lobby of four each instead of like eight, but,
I think that wouldn't be a bad thing if you did maybe like four people. Eight people is just going to be just a talking session and people are going to get bored, but four people I think would be pretty feasible. So you're right about that.
Yeah. What else? Anything else you got to touch on this game?
Let me see. No, I don't think so. I wonder if that's all the characters that you get. I think there's 35 characters. Have you unlocked everybody, or do you know?
There's more than 35. I think there's like 39 or 38.
There's four unlockables.
Yeah.
Okay, so far I think I've unlocked Akuma and Phoenix. I don't think I've unlocked anybody else but those two, right?
You've unlocked Taskmaster.
Okay, yeah, Taskmaster. Okay.
Yeah.
The Four Corners.
And then Sentinels, then the fourth one.
Okay, so I've unlocked everybody then.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And you unlock them pretty quick.
Yeah, you do. And you earn points like for everything. Just like in it, they kind of took the Halo thing where, you can go to training mode and you can earn points, or you can do arcade and earn points, and you can unlock you can unlock the different, there's four different openings. You can unlock the different openings and you can unlock different like artworks and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. There's a lot of neat stuff you can unlock. Yeah, I'm really enjoying this game. I'm really loving it.
Yeah, you can unlock them like maybe in your first three or four, two or three playthroughs. I mean, they're very easy to unlock. And just a side tangent, I'm hoping that they are in plans or about to come out with a Deadpool movie, if they do it right.
Oh, they are. Ryan Reynolds is going to be Deadpool.
Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
They announced that, he was Deadpool in the X-Men 3 movie?
Right.
No, Wolverine. No, Origins.
Wolverine.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so he's going to be Deadpool and Green Lantern. So he's got a character for each universe.
He was okay in Wolverine, but I didn't like the way they use him.
Yeah.
So
I think that wasn't really his fault. I think it was more of the...
Yeah.
Because Ryan Reynolds is a hilarious dude. I could see him being a good Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was until he took his mouth away.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't be a merc with a mouth without a mouth.
Exactly. So.
Yeah.
Sorry.
One last thing I want to touch on. The look of this game is just... I mean, it's way better than Street Fighter or Super Street Fighter 4. It looks... 10 times better, I think.
In my opinion, I think it does look better because that MT Frameworks engine, which is the same Resident Evil engine and Lost Planet, I mean, that is a beautiful looking engine that Capcom's developed. So I really think it does look, yeah, I agree with you on that 110%. The eye candy in the game is just unbelievable.
Yeah, and there's so many things going on in the background that's just, it would be so awesome to, have the spectator mode so you could actually view the background instead of, having to fight and not getting a chance. Because, the bugle, the Daily Bugle level,
right.
There's just so much going on there. You got the parade, you got the Spider-Man parade float and all the other stuff and the people you can see on the ground. And it's just, it's crazy as far as the graphics go.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, and I agree with you. I think it looks better than Street Fighter. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. So, it's a shame they didn't have the spectator mode, but I see that they did put a lot of work into this. They really did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the only question I have, I don't know if you guys already touched on it already, but is it more balanced than Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
I would have to say yes. Like, and no. Well, not really. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm saying like, can like somebody pick Magneto, Sentinel, and Storm and just completely, you know, obliterate the competition?
Yes.
Yes.
Because Storm and Magneto and Sentinel are still top tier characters.
What?
Yeah, very top tier. And Dante is just absolutely
insane. You basically have to have a Dante on your team to cancel out the other person's Dante, because everyone uses Dante.
I can tell you right now, you could literally win a game if you're very good with Dante alone. That's just how good he is.
Man. That is crazy that they would still have it so... Well, I guess they got a couple patches.
And there's an achievement for that, too.
There's an achievement for doing what?
Winning with just one character and not switching any out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can easily... It's not just ranked match. You can get in with a friend and have them just stand there and beat you and get it easily. So, but it is an achievement.
Yeah, I was going to buy it, but it was just that whole imbalance factor of it. Have any of you guys played the I guess you call it the arcade or like the campaign mode, play through the game yet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Did you? Was Galactus hard or, you know, not really or?
He's a bit challenging, yes, and we kind of touched a little on this, he, like, there's certain moves that'll happen with him, but it'll take you a few, you know, a few tries to learn how to avoid them. Like, he has a move where he'll flick you, or he'll slam his hand down or whatever,
yeah,
and you just have to learn when to jump to avoid those. And then he has a move where he grabs you, he cups his hands together, and you just have to start attacking to break free. And while he's doing that, you can press the assist button and have one of your characters attack him while he's focused just on you. So there are ways, you know, you'll learn. He'll beat you the first couple times unless you're playing on, like, very easy. But
yeah,
it's a learning experience, really.
Yeah, because I remember Apocalypse, he was a pain, man, with that big drill arm. Like, I mean, when he did that, it was pretty much, it was like a one-hit kill. I mean, anybody you had on screen, even if you had, like, the Hulk or Juggernaut or somebody, it was still pretty much like a one-hit super mode kill.
Yeah. Yep. But we also touched on the fact that they've simplified it a lot so that Stuart could play, learn it, and probably end up being as good as us.
Yep.
People who have played... Capcom fighting games for 10 plus years.
I don't believe them because they don't know how bad I am.
If anything else, they got the simple mode where you just press a button and basically you win.
Yeah.
Press button equals fireball. Awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you guys were in the party, but I heard hearsay that Phoenix beat Golf Rat. So
yeah, Phoenix destroyed Golf Rat
5-3.
Phoenix is basically Phoenix is basically the type of that is his fighting game. Yeah, he hates fighting games, but this is the fighting game he's basically so and so. How can I put it? Kind of grew up on. This is his fighting game. I beat him one time, and I was actually proud of that.
Huh?
I haven't faced him yet.
he is nasty. I can't remember exactly who he used, but one of them is definitely Wolverine, and that's his boy.
Oh, Wolverine's a tank. Once you get him started, it's over with.
Right.
Yeah, what about that? I guess her name is called like X-23 or something like that, where she's supposed to be like, I guess,
female Wolverine.
Right. Exactly. Like does she feel like Wolverine or a little bit more powerful or a little bit underpowered?
She's got her similarities, but she is a little different. Like, there's a move where, I mean, she doesn't just attack with claws straight up. She'll, like, there's a move where she'll jump, like, basically jump on your neck and then, you know, slice you and stuff like that. So there are similarities with her and Wolverine, just like Hulk and She-Hulk, but there are some differences.
Yeah. She-Hulk is nasty.
Interesting fact. The lady who came up with the idea for X-23 or whatever her name is... I actually met her.
Oh, really?
Yes, I met her, and she signed a couple of comic books for
that. Oh, that was Free Comic Day, wasn't it? That was, yes, that it lady. Was. Yes. Awesome.
Oh, cool.
That's pretty cool. Any other questions, Knox?
No, that's pretty much all I had. I mean, I may pick it up. I don't know if you guys went to the webpage, just kind of, I guess, tearing off here a little bit. But did you guys get an email from Amazon about the Gold Box deals?
Yes, I haven't checked that out yet. Yeah. I saw the post on the site, though.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Wednesday the 23rd. They're supposed to be going through a whole bunch of different.
Do they have a list of it? Or?
No, not okay. Yet. It's probably going to be like they always do, where they give like a clue, and then you got to kind of figure out the clue in order to know what the next product is going to be.
Yeah.
So they'll probably run some new games on there, like Dead Space 2 and, you know, Marvel's Capcom 3.
Two universes collide, and then it'll end up being Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe.
Right.
But
that's all I had, man. I mean, you know, just trying to see if it's balanced yet. I mean, but they'll probably release a couple patches for it to make it more balanced, probably. And what's up with this infamous no spectator mode?
Supposedly there's supposed to be a patch for it.
Oh, okay.
But it's really only bad if you want to play 8 people in a party. I mean, it's not too bad if you got a party of 3 or 4, because you can just keep taking turns battling, and you can see their characters' health bars and see that. So it's not too bad if you have a small party. I mean, but 8 people, you know, Friday night fights? No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no spectator mode.
But they're supposed to patch that, and we also touched on where I mentioned the matchmaking is horrible for ranked matches. I've had no luck really finding anyone to fight on ranked matches.
Right.
So you mean it's horrible as far as matching you up with somebody of your same skill level?
It won't match you.
Yeah.
It'll say connection lost or something, and then it bumps you straight to the main menu. So you have to go all the way back to online and ranked matches, and so you can't even just press, you know, A to continue or anything like that. But
yeah, I seen on Twitter, Dark DJ gave like a little pro tip. He said set your settings to I think he said same English same.
No, that doesn't work.
Oh, it doesn't?
even any English, I've still had problems.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I mean, sometimes I can, but a lot of the times I haven't been able to.
But do you think it's because there's so many people in there, or do you think it's just bad servers?
I don't know. I think maybe they weren't expecting such a huge crowd to get it, because I mean, they were having midnight launches for this thing.
Yeah.
And that's pretty impressive for a fighting game. So I'm thinking maybe their servers aren't capable of handling this. So I'm thinking maybe they can fix it with a patch or, you know, just doing something. But
right.
But if there's no more questions, Knox, we can, since you're the resident Halo fanboy, you want to give us your opinions on the Defiant map pack, the knowledge we've gotten from it? We kind of touched on it already, but you want to give us your side?
Yeah, I was in a party. I was telling Ace this, man. I just don't know how Bungie. It's like when you look at their map pack trailers, like they make them seem like it's like so epic that you have to get it. But you know, just kind of taking the Halo fanboy out for a second. I mean, the map packs look good. They actually give you a pretty large firefight map. It looks like it's some kind of wasteland or some kind of factory land or something like that. The other map, it looks like you're inside of this facility, but it looks like you can go outside too. So I'm not necessarily sure how it is. It looks like has almost like greenhouse windows on the outermost part of it. Then there's like one more, I think it's called Unearth, and looks like it takes place on like a old training facility where they first trained the Spartans at, because it has a whole bunch of like, you know, little lifts and stuff like that, and little right. tracks where they probably had the kids running and everything when they were actually training to actually be Spartans. So it's pretty cool, man. Like Bungie, they always throw a little bit of fiction into their multiplayer stuff, even though it really doesn't, I mean, you know, really doesn't have any weight as far as the storyline, of course. But I like how they kind of put little fictional things and provisions into the multiplayer map packs. But the trailer's up on Xbox Live. You can also, you know, go online and YouTube it if you want. But, I mean, the trailer looks awesome. I mean, just from the firefights that they showed. And more than likely, they'll probably come out with, like, some new grab bag stuff and maybe some extra CR weekends or something like that. But I mean, it looks pretty good from what the trailer showed. Did you guys get a chance to watch the trailer?
I did. It seemed like they focused a lot on humor for it, like with the basically coming from behind and beating people down. I think they did a lot of that.
Yeah, the assassinations were yeah. like real heavy.
Yeah, so I mean, I think they were really trying to get a humor from that part of that. So, but yeah, it looks interesting. And I was saying, I picked up or I ordered Halo Reach again for I rebought that online Yay. For $20. I couldn't pass up the deal, and I had some credit that was expiring today. So, but yeah, I don't know if I'll get the map packs or not. It just depends on the community, if yeah. a lot of people get it or not, because not that many people are – I haven't seen that many people on my friends list still into Halo.
Yeah, everybody just kind of just plays Black Ops, but I think I'm like one of the few faithful Halo people that still play Halo a lot. But Ace usually jumps in with me every now and again, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'll have the game, so I'll be playing, and maybe I'll get the map packs during a downtime because there's too much coming out now for me to focus on Halo.
Yeah, for somebody like me, I recommend you get them because you're always playing them, just like any other game. But I mean, you know, once Bungie releases, you know, the next two map packs, because they usually release four. Right. If you follow the history of all the different Halo games, they usually release four map packs. And they'll finally release like one big bundle, just like Gears, just like, you know, every other shooter out there. And they'll discount it like half off or something like that. So just wait until all the map packs come out.
$20 for all.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Just wait till that bundle comes out, and they'll discount them all. But
like this is like the first. Bundle?
Yeah, exactly. But this is actually the first time they've released one of the firefight maps with it. So I'm kind of curious to see. Will they change up the different game modes to it, or will they, you know, have you do the versus firefight again? Because that was pretty fun, where, like, you can do 2v2 or two players, or the elites, you know, spawn as elites, and then the other players spawn as regular Spartans. So you're kind of fighting through, but there's still multiple enemies. There's, you know, other Covenant.
Yeah,
right.
I guess I kind of left Halo before that came out, because I don't remember doing that at all.
Cool. Yeah, they had the Firefight Versus mode. I think you can do four versus two, but of course, you know, during the match, there's multiple Covenant. There's, of course, there's Jackals, there's Skirmishers, there's Grunts and everything else, but just two people spawn as elites, but you really don't know which ones they are until you kind of, you know, start fighting against them. You can kind of tell which one's a player and which one's the CPU.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Why is that elite going that way?
Yeah,
that's not right. He's running away from us.
Yeah, but anything else on it, Nox?
No, that was about it. It's just a map pack coming out. I'll probably post the impressions up on the website, like I did the last map pack.
Alrighty, cool. Was there someone going to say something?
Oh, no, I was just saying cool.
Oh, okay. I applaud your effort, Ace, for trying to transition us into the Killzone 3 bundle.
Oh, I actually wasn't. I was just
Oh. it came across that. You could have went with it.
Yeah, he was really just trying to transition me, because he's been on me for the past week about getting that bundle.
Yeah, he needs to.
So it is confirmed, people. Henry will be getting a PS3 come tomorrow. I wanted to get it today, but they wouldn't let me buy it because they said they can't break the street date for the Killzone game.
The game, yeah.
Yeah, so they wouldn't let nobody buy it. So I gotta wait until tomorrow. So I'll probably be at work. My wife's gonna pick it up for me. So
Blue, if Blue's listening to this, or when he does listen to this, I want you to understand that he will be getting this bundle. So Blue, you heard it right here. He will be getting this bundle. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we kind of touched on what it was, and we kind of agreed that it would have been nice if they would have added a little extra instead of just the game and the console. Like if they would have added a Bluetooth or something to it, because it just seems kind of plain. But it's still a good deal. I mean, yeah. It's still a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
But it just would make sense that if they would add some kind of headset, you know?
Yeah.
Since it is a multiplayer heavy exclusive game. But yeah.
Well, that's kind of been a problem of just Sony in general, because they don't pack in a headset. I think that's the reason why a lot of people on the PSN network, you know, first starting off, like, people don't know, because PlayStation, they have the most, you know, user-friendly, adaptable system. You can go inside, you know, your local cell phone store and pick up a $30 Bluetooth headset, and you can adapt it to your PS3 just that easy. But not everybody knows that, so you wind up with people, I'll get a microphone later, but, you know, they're online and nobody's talking.
You can get a headset that works for all the systems.
Right, exactly.
And plays audio.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's a good deal, and you got to sign up for the game night that Ace is hosting.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I will.
Yep.
That will sure be fun. And I guess for all of y'all listeners, talkingaboutgames.com under the game nights is Killzone on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
This Saturday,
7 p.m. Eastern time, I believe, and it's an up all night game night, but I mean, we might not necessarily be up all night, but with those type of game modes, if anybody's familiar with Killzone 2, their game modes basically is like, if you jump in an operations game, it could be deathmatch, it'll turn into capture the flag, then it'll turn into holding cap.
One game could be like an hour long.
Exactly. So that's why it's up all night, because, I mean, it's Killzone 3, and, you know, we could be up for a while, so.
Because we're hardcore gamers.
Yep.
But I'm definitely looking forward to that. I guess, you know, touching on Sony's exclusive, they're starting to, I guess, ban people for hacking into their system, into the PS3s for, I guess, piracy and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were going after people's Twitter account, anybody who had an association or made comments with, on, or against them. In association with what's the other guy's name? Geohots.
Geohot, yeah.
Yeah, and they were going after. Well, they tried to appeal to the courts to allow them to have record of every Twitter account, every message board, every Facebook link that was associated with those guys. So if you send them a message, like, they could pretty much go into your personal information. But the court denied them. The only thing they didn't do. Yeah, I know, right? they were allowed to take Geohot's computer and I guess some of his files and stuff like that. But of course, you know, just the ridiculousness of them trying to go after everybody was, you know, that's a little bit much. So the court sided, told them, hey, you can't go after everybody. You can go after the person they're trying to prosecute, but you can't go after everybody.
Yeah, I think they're actually attacking him because I think they're actually able to attack him because he's making a profit off of it, or they're trying to spin it that way because he's got a donate button on his site, and I think they actually donated $1 to him.
Yeah, the only thing is, like, they're trying to spin it like that, but they're just basically bitter that this guy broke into their system, and they're just, you know, I mean, rather than hiring the guy, you know, or rather than saying, hey, you know, oh, man, you cracked it. OK, let me go ahead and pay you this sum of money to come work for us or whatever. Because I remember, wasn't it like a 15 or 17 year old kid? I forget what it was. I think he cracked the iPhone. They gave him like a 350Z or something like that, and they gave him a job and everything.
I don't know.
I can't remember the kid's name. But they gave him a car, and I mean all this stuff. I mean, but you know, and.
But the main thing with his is it's leading to piracy, a huge increase in piracy.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a two-edged sword when you speak of this, because he's not. I mean, he is technically, you know, bearing all of their security, you know, out to like the public, but you know, it's not like he is profiteering off of it. Like he's not, you know, directly going on there and saying, hey, you can burn pirated games, you can play this on there now and
buy my, you know, PS3 hack program for
right exactly because yeah there was a separate company that was actually selling the little soft mod USB sticks. Yeah, but he's not even doing any of that stuff. He's just saying this is how you do it. I mean, is that any different than saying this is how you crack the iPhone, you know? So I mean because yeah, technically, I mean, if it's your hardware, you should be able to do whatever you want to it. Just like if I buy a car, if I want to yank the engine out of it and I want to put a, you know, put whatever I want to put in, I should be able to do that.
True, but you shouldn't get on the network and take advantage of the stuff like, you know, doing the hacks where you can get all the trophies for all kinds of games, or, you know, basically free games, have free games and stuff that.
Oh, no, of course not. Yeah.
But it's funny because the whole reason I think they started attacking the PS3 trying to hack into it is because they took the other OS feature off it. That's what all started all the people trying to hack like crazy, is because they took the option to install Linux off the PS3.
Okay, that's what I was asking. Yeah, Linux. Okay, got it.
So I found that kind of funny. But yeah, I definitely agree. If your hardware, if you want to, you know, hack it, do whatever you want, put Linux on it, you know, as long as you're not connecting to the PlayStation Network and, you know, abusing their terms of service and stuff like that, you know, I don't think that there's that big of a problem.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree, too.
But, because the Navy, right now, they still use the PS3s for, or the Air Force, they still use, like, a lot of PS3s for processing power still. Like, they have like hundreds of them basically all together for a big supercomputer. So, you know, they're not connected to the PlayStation Network. They've got, you know, but so, you know, it'd be interesting to see if Sony went after like the Air Force because they were hacking basically tapped into the power of the PS3.
Love to see him try.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's fail.
It's kind of just like when the Microsoft was supposedly, I think it was rumor, but then they kind of retracted their original statement when they were trying to go after people who were hacking the Kinect, posting up YouTube videos. You know, I mean, if these guys spent their $150-$150 on this device and they want to hack it to use Windows 7, then why not? You know, like, I mean, they're not hurting anybody. They're not, you know, stealing anything, but they just choose to hack it. And that's the only thing, you know. Now what GeoHaus is doing as far as bearing all and like showing their complete system and showing that, hey, you know, it's completely open now and this is how you do it. You know, I guess you could say that's a moral issue that you have to, you know, make on a personal level. I mean, personally, I wouldn't do that, but eventually it would have came out somewhere. I mean, somebody would have posted something in a post, or, you know, it's just the fact that I think they're going after him just because he is probably the most known, you know, hacker out there.
Oh, definitely, and people follow him, so,
yeah,
you know, because of all the iPhone hacks he's done, people, you know, he's popular on the internet, so when he's shown all their security, you know, when he's shown the codes and stuff like that, it's access to a lot of people. It's not
That's where I've heard his name before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now Stuart's caught up.
Like, I was like,
that name sounds familiar. I don't know why. Now I know.
But I guess you were talking about the Kinect. Do you want to touch more on that, the Windows 7 and Phone 7 and the Kinect real quick?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know if you guys seen the trailer that's on the dashboard of the 360 dashboard, but they haven't really released a whole lot of details about it, but from what the trailer shows, it shows pretty much that you can be sitting on the couch. So say, for instance, is me in, you know, all four of us playing the Kinect, and Ace has a Windows 7 phone and Stuart has a Windows 7 phone. You know, me and you, William, we could be up, you know, moving around and, you know, playing what's the ball slapper game?
I don't know. It looks ridiculous.
Ricochet or something like that or whatever?
Yeah, something like
but anyways,
that.
Anyways, but it's kind of cool because say, for instance, somebody holds their Windows 7 phone up and they get to control, you know, the balls that are coming towards you or different things on the screen. All you do is hold up your Windows Phone 7 to where the Kinect can actually, I guess, see it or actually read, I guess, the signal from Xbox Live to your Windows Phone 7. And then, of course, the Kinect reads the other person's body. And then it showed them on there. They were controlling each ball that was coming towards the player. If you tap the screen, it was throwing out multiple balls. Just the integration of that, like, gets me excited about the technology that they're putting into Xbox Live with Kinect, with Windows Phone 7. It's not really like a huge leap and bound field technology feat, but I think it's good that they're trying to integrate all three of their devices.
Now, do you think this is what they wanted to do originally with back in, I would say, what, 2006 with Live Anywhere?
Maybe so, but at that time...
They might have thought of something like this, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Live Anywhere really didn't get off the ground, and I think this is what they really envisioned.
Yeah, because I think about everything that the Kinect could potentially do. Like, say, for instance, someone has a Windows Phone 7, and you're playing, you don't know Jack. I mean, the person with the Windows Phone 7 can be, you know, the announcer or the questionnaire person. Or say, for instance, they come out with like a Wheel of Fortune for the Kinect. Of course, Kinect uses voice commands, so you could buy a vowel or you could say A or whatever, and you know it'll pop up. But the person using the Windows Phone 7 can kind of be the, the moderator. Or they could be Vanna White, and they could be the ones that are moving the letters, you know, turning the letters for you, in conjunction with on screen, you know, with their Windows Phone 7. So there's a ton of different possibilities that you know you could actually do with it. So
I can totally see that.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah,
but with the going to the trailer, it will not work as well as it was shown. Like, because the way it was shown, it was seamless, and nothing is ever seamless like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, but that's what technology. Period.
I mean, it was perfect one to one, but
yeah. I think it's funny. I was listening to the OFR podcast, and Vlad's said it's funny how you're using a controller device for something where you didn't need a controller to play. So yeah. I thought that was kind of funny if you think about it that way, but they need to show something like you said, like a, you know, Wheel of Fortune game or maybe a Jeopardy game.
Well, they need to come out with a game like that.
Yes, and they need to display something like that instead of, you know, oh, I can shoot balls at you and you try to kick them or catch them or what, because that stuff just looks goofier than shit. Honestly,
it's fun though.
I guess I've never tried it, but it from, you know, I guess maybe it looks fun to the casual, but as a hardcore gamer myself, I just don't find that. I just
yeah, me neither.
I want something, you know, meatier, something better, like, right. You know, like a Wheel of Fortune game or something like that. because that could be really cool.
My name might be Casual Tear, but I consider myself a hardcore gamer.
Well, see, I think they're really just using that trailer and really that game because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, I actually like Kinect Adventures. Like, I think that was probably one of the best launch titles that they could have come out with, even though it's a big tech demo. I mean, I do realize that, but I actually like Kinect Adventures, and I think they use that game as their test bed for most of their technology because, you know, Kinect Adventures shows off everything that they can do. One of the games are co-op. I mean, it's probably the most complete one-to-one game other than probably Dance Central.
Right.
I mean, it's got everything. It's got the jumping. It's got the moving side to side. It's got the facial recognition. There's even, I guess there's rumors, talks, and hey, you're gonna be able to do finger presses and, you know, stuff like that with your fingers and everything later on. But I think they're gonna constantly revert back to Kinect Adventures because, you know, that's their test bed for everything. I think that's the reason why they use it. And they know that when a consumer sees that trailer, if you have the Kinect, you have Kinect Adventures. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I as far as getting a Windows Phone 7, I don't think so. I definitely will. I'll end up getting the Kinect probably, but not a Windows Phone 7. Not unless they do something drastically. Make like a Zune-like device where it's like the iPod Touch to the iPhone.
Right.
Like, I would definitely get a Windows Phone or Xbox, you know, Zune type player with Windows Phone 7 on it, but not the actual phone because there's just not much support there right now. I think I saw their conference where they were announcing their partnership with Nokia, and they were like, "We have over 8,000 apps on our store." And I'm like, "Seriously? That's it?" How many does the iPhone have? Like 200,000? Android? Probably 100,000 at least?
Yeah.
Wow. But I just don't see them growing that much because developers won't. They're already, you know, having to stretch between, you know, Apple and Android and I guess maybe BlackBerry. I mean, having to think about another device, another operating system to try to reach out to. I don't know, but that's my 2 cents on Windows Phone 7. But Kinect looks awesome. I definitely would be down for some Dance Central.
Yeah, Dance Central is pretty fun. My wife is she's loving Dance Central, and I mean, with fun, you can't go wrong with Kinect. I can tell you that right now.
Alrighty, I guess we can touch on our next subject. We were talking about game shows. IBM has made a supercomputer called Watson that can play Jeopardy.
Yep.
And can do pretty well. And it's this kind of scares me a bit, honestly, because ahead.
I'll say this: if you're viewing the live stream, you know I'm way ahead of you.
Yeah, I just saw that now. But yeah, I don't know if you guys saw the video I put up of it actually playing with the Jeopardy winners. I mean, it's playing with two of the most successful Jeopardy winners of all time.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that. Yeah,
and it's ridiculous how accurate it is, how quick it can do. But there are some problems with it, like the actual host can anticipate when to click the button because I guess with Jeopardy you can only click it after the light appears or something, and we're better with timing, so humans are better with timing, so they can actually press the button right at the time the light blinks, so they can actually reflexes. Get to the questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can actually get to the questions quicker, but it's kind of scary how good Watson is. But there's also a problem. What question was it? There was some question where it was like, its largest airport was named for, wait, a World War II hero. Its second largest for a World War II battle. Stuff like that, you know, and can confuse it. Because it'll look for, like, second largest airport.
Oh, yeah. So like the, it's almost like a, like it's trying to think of it in terms of a double question because it's like on a search engine.
It doesn't catch the, it doesn't catch it. It just thinks, it just takes the first part of the question.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's largest airport. So it looks for the largest airport.
Yeah. I was watching day one. I was watching it live and, what the guy's name who was on there for a long time, a couple years ago.
Ken and Brad.
Ken. That was his name. Like, I forget what the question was, but Ken rang in first, got it wrong, but Watson came up with the same exact answer. So when Watson rang in again, Watson said the same exact answer.
Yeah, there is that problem. It's funny because I was watching the last day, and at the end when they did like the final Jeopardy round or whatever, Ken he answered and he put what he waged, and when he put what he waged, he put like I give in to our overlord supreme or something like that, basically making this Terminator geek joke, but yeah, what do you guys think about it? I know Stuart's touched on it. Ace?
Well, I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I think I'm pretty cool with it. As far as the two guys, now you said these two, I'm just curious. These two guys are like the best of all time in Jeopardy.
They've won like so like millions of dollars.
Ridiculous.
Like
amount,
Brad
yeah.
has won like $3 million. I think he's undefeated besides this special round.
Yeah.
They said
and,
so.
And Ken was like in like
he was the first like, one to make like a million or
72 consecutive rounds.
Yeah. I think he was the first to reach
like
a million.
It was some high insane number.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the only reason why he stopped is because they made him stop, right?
They made him retire,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, they made him retire. I think I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really don't going to have too much to touch on it, to be honest with you. But, I mean, with this supercomputer playing Jeopardy, I'm just tripping off of this picture right now, to be honest with you, with this dang Terminator. But I don't know. I mean, I think that that it would honestly be a challenge if they were just actually going up against it. But what do you think, Knox?
I mean, I think it's brilliant. I mean, as far as the technology within itself, that this thing can actually think on its own and it can use, you know, kind of a design. It's basically kind of like a super, you know, search engine with, you know, a set of algorithms that can read right. and I guess respond to what is being asked. So I mean, I think it's cool as far as the technology, but this is just one step closer to
Skynet.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, you just have to just tread softly on stuff like this because, you know, being able to be a supercomputer. I mean, when does it, you know, like we said before, you know, when do these things become self-aware, or when do they become so advanced to where they become self-aware and they start to kind of, you know, where those algorithms not only change, but they actually evolve and they start to think on their own. So,
right.
you know, it's just one of those questions. But
in other words, this could be a scary thought.
Yeah.
And this will not be mainstream anytime soon because this thing accesses like servers, like 90, I think 90 different servers.
Yeah.
With like eight or four CPUs with 8 cores each. And over like 15 terabytes of RAM, not wow. to mention the actual device, not to mention the actual Watson. It just that's the servers it accesses.
Man,
so it's crazy. It's ridiculous. I'm curious of how much it actually costs for them to build it. But then again, the way technology's going, maybe we'll have this type of technology on our phone in a year or two.
Right.
But definitely was wanted to bring that up because it just seemed interesting.
One thing I found funny was that there, you know, I was watching I only watched day one of it, but there was a Beatles category. It got every single Beatles answer right. Yet when it came to a couple of Harry Potter questions, had no idea.
yeah, that is pretty humorous. But yeah, watching that, I realized that Jeopardy is actually a pretty good show. I never really watched it too much, but I was answering questions and actually getting some right. next, I guess, we can go into our... Well, actually, I want to quickly touch on this Apple thing, another Apple problem. I don't want to drag this out too long, but Apple was basically saying that, you know, if you want to have an app for us, you know, we take 30% of it, and if it's a subscription type thing, we get 30% of that, like,
what?
Each month.
Wow.
Unless I'm reading this wrong, but I think I'm not. So you guys, have you guys looked at this at all, or...
Yeah, I looked at it briefly, but I didn't know that they were actually. I thought it was just off the top, like yeah. You know, like whatever you submitted and you know whatever you made up front, then that's how much they take. But I didn't know that it was like a residual thing. Like if you, wow.
No, I think it's. I think I'm seeing on here where it's saying, iTunes Store is subjected to Apple's 30% monthly fee versus the just yeah. So I think it is a monthly thing. Rhapsody is one of the first people who are saying, we're going to probably jump off this. We've got to look into what we're going to do because this isn't right. Because they just offer a free app, you know.
Yeah.
Their app is free and then their service, you know, costs money. And they also have to pay for the music rights to be able to use for their service. So
I would think Rhapsody is definitely going to jump off of it due to the fact that you are paying for the music service. So
I mean, but think about people like, and these are close to home for me because, you know, two of these services I actually use on a day-to-day basis. Think about Hulu, you know, Hulu Plus and Netflix. Like my wife, she has, I have her phone programmed to my Netflix account. I have my phone programmed to my Netflix account. And that's huge for me because, you know, sometimes when we have podcasts, when we go through different content, we got to watch movies and things like that. Like, I use that all the time. And if Netflix pulls out, because, I mean, think about it. I mean, yeah, the average consumer are paying $7 to $10 a month for Hulu Plus or Netflix. And if they pull out, then that's going to be one less device that they can kind of say that we're on.
Exactly.
And that loses a lot of pull with Apple.
Right.
As far as, you know, the iPhone is so great because – these companies can go to you know the Android operating system where I think they've announced Google announced that they're only going to take like 10% off the top.
Yeah, I mean this 30% is ridiculous.
Yeah,
especially I think, monthly.
I think once Netflix says no more, Apple's going to kind of rethink that because you know Netflix that's a big thing.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. If once they say no, they're going to have to rethink that.
And, you know, not to mention this and the recent move they made against the podcasting world with just, you know, checking the feeds once a day and taking away our option to, you know, ping iTunes to check the feed.
Right.
I think it's crazy. I mean, it seems like since Steve Jobs stepped down, they've been doing a lot of crazy moves.
Wow.
Because I think he did step down, unless I'm wrong, because of health reasons.
From my understanding, he stepped down because of issues with his family and his health. So that's what I heard. But
So I'm guessing maybe the board of directors or something are trying to be like, let's see how much money we can milk because people love our product so much. They'll wait in line for 3 days to get our iPhones. So I don't know. It's crazy. I just wanted to touch on that since we touched on that other Apple thing last week. Right. Just seems like they're giving people more of a reason to switch.
Yep.
But I guess we can go jump into our I recommend section, which, you know, Netflix is still on, so on our iPhone devices, so we can still watch them. Like Knox was mentioning, do you want to give us your pick, Knox?
Oh yeah. This week my recommend is going to be Ghost in the Shell, but not the original movie, but the 2.0. It's also on Netflix. It's in HD. The reason why I chose 2.0 is because they actually went back and they actually cut. They didn't really cut a whole lot of the movie, but they actually added. I guess what would you call it? Like almost like a 2.5D kind of up-res graphics to kind of, I guess, build up on the visuals a little bit more.
Yeah, watched it last night. Yeah,
yeah.
They basically some of the cutscenes are CG. Which, yeah, I thought was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
have you ever seen the original?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that first 15, I probably say the first 12 minutes is probably it's completely different. It's all CG, right. You know, design, which is pretty good. But even the original holds up today as far as it being animated. You know, like the whole scene where she's being created and stuff like that. Yeah. So I really like both, but I like the fact that they kind of updated some of the visuals, made it HD, and the transfer from standard. I got a 720p television. It still looks great right. On the HD transfer. What did you guys think about it?
I really liked it. I thought it was kind of cool that they cut it in CG. Now, when I first saw it in CG, the first 12 minutes of it, I wouldn't say I was disappointed, but I was really skeptical because of the simple fact that I'm like, okay, is this whole thing going to be in CG? I mean, yeah, I wonder how they're going to take this.
Because you have that memory of the original,
right? Yeah. And so when they popped it into the cartoon, I'm like, oh, okay, well that's a nice touch. They just had that. They just had the special parts of it in CG, and then they went into the cartoon. I think that was pretty darn cool. One thing I wanted to side tangent on is that they have a lot of Ghost in the Shell side episodes to it, and also another movie to it, a part two. So yeah. I'm actually curious to check those out. And if they take it, I'm pretty sure they're going to kill her off. I don't know if you've seen the other ones or not.
Well, she doesn't really necessarily. Well, I won't give any spoilers, but let's just say information never dies.
Gotcha.
So, you know, you take that for whatever it is. But when you watch the series, you'll kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about. And and also part two is pretty good too. But it's not on Instant Watch that I know. I think it was on Instant Watch a long time ago, but they took it off.
Yeah, it's not, because I tried to check it out because I was really interested in checking out part two to see what happens. And they also have a spinoff known where it's like in the future, Ghost in the Shell. In 2032, I wanted to check that out. I got that in my instant queue, but I really like the remake. I mean, the 2.0, that looked pretty freaking cool.
But for those of you who are listening, if you've never seen the original Ghost in the Shell, I would recommend you start off with Ghost in the Shell, the actual original. Both are on Netflix Instant, but 2.0 just kind of makes it a little bit better with the up-res resolution and the CG graphics and stuff in it. But
I definitely liked it. I gotta say, when I saw the very beginning where it looked the way it looked, I was like, oh my god, this is like kind of like Final Fantasy.
Right.
What was that movie? Spirits Within. Oh god, no, that was just horrible. I thought.
Yeah, that was the first thing that came to my mind. Like, oh my goodness, what are they going to? How are they going to take this cartoon? This is a classic.
But then when they popped it back into, you know, the cartoon type, I was like, oh, okay, I can deal with that.
Yeah.
That's actually, thank God. But yeah, it was definitely interesting. I enjoyed it. Stuart?
I like Ghost in the Shell. I should say I like Ghost in the Shell standalone complex. Oh, yeah. I like that series. Because, you know, that was what I knew. Watching this, you know, the major, the voice actor's different, and she looks different. And I didn't like the way she looked.
What?
She just looked
really
no, especially that scene where she's standing on the boat, like looking like right at the camera.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I think feel like that is terrible. That is awful. Like she just doesn't look right to me. And the voice actress doing the voice just sound like she was just reading it. Which I was like, really? oh. It was just that scene. Man. That scene right there. I was like, that's bad. But other than that, I mean, it was good.
Cool.
Alrighty. Stuart, your pick? Another anime?
Yes. My pick was Kaze no Stigma. And this is kind of, I was going to say, how good. Airbender meets Modern Times, kind of.
Yeah. But it's so cool, though, man. Oh, go ahead.
But yeah, that's, you know, they don't call it bent bending, they just call it magic, you know, like air magic and fire magic and earth magic, and that was kind of all there was. But, you know, I really enjoyed it. You know, I kind of discovered this because it was recommended to me by Netflix, so I watched it and I liked it.
Cool. Yeah.
That's the problem with anime, because there's so much of it, and then I'm just an anime fan, so, like, a lot of times, like, I know a lot of times people get into some animes and, like, the humor really doesn't catch them, or, you know, they don't really understand a whole lot of stuff that, you know, that's going on, which is typical, you know, stuff that's in typical anime fashion. But, man, I mean, these last, you know, three episodes that we've had, like, I've loved every piece of anime that's been recommended so far. And I was just sitting up watching it, man. I like the whole aspect. Now, is it like a kind of like a, because, like, is that so funny that you say that? It's kind of like, you know, Airbender. But I kind of felt like a little bit of Ghostbusters in there, too. Like, especially with, like, the first, with the first episode where it was some kind of, I guess, ghost demon or something like that or whatever.
Yeah. It is a little bit of Ghostbusters thrown in. Because, you know, what they do is they stop evil demons called Yoma.
Right.
I did not know you guys were anime fans. You know, I'm still looking for my remake of Vampire Hunter D.
I think you can hold your breath on that one, brother.
I know.
Well, I said don't hold your breath. Because you probably die.
But yeah, I really liked it. It's interesting. The first episode had me kind of confused, but then from thereafter, you know, I was really digging it, and I really liked the way the animation is, because that's a big deal with me. If I don't like the way the animation looks, it could have the best story, but I will not watch it.
Same.
There are some animes where it just looks horrible, and I just can't watch it. But I really did like it. It kind of had a video game vibe to it. The look of it.
I'm kind of the same, especially when it comes to one set in the future. You got to make sure that animation is right, because it's really going to set the anime off. So I'm definitely in agreement with you in regards to the animation.
No, one other thing that I did like also too, I liked how in this series, like, the main character, he is completely confident. Like, he doesn't have any type of preconceptions, nor insecurities. You know, I mean, of course, every you know, protagonist has weaknesses and things like that. Of course, but I like the demeanor that they gave his character. He's completely confident. You know, nothing really shakes him. You know, kind of like even going back to like the Dragon Ball Z days, like. Even like a person like Goku, he was fun loving, heartfelt, and everything. But even sometimes he didn't really even know, you know, how powerful he was or whatever. He was just kind of coming into his own. Or like, right. If you take something like Inuyasha, you know, you got those two characters that are going back and forth, and they really don't really know, you know, how they're supposed to react in certain, you know, situations and things like that. But like this character, like, he was completely confident within himself, within his powers and everything. I just like how they made the main character stern.
That's cool.
It did show him having the softer side with his brother, though.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. So it didn't show him, like, too confident and, you know, I'm the badass. It did show that he did have, you know, like he said, why do I always give in or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I definitely am liking it, and I'm the same. I love anime, and it's just killer these past, you know, few episodes, all the anime recommendations, because I want to continue on watching them, and yeah. It's eating up my gaming time.
I know, right?
But, I guess we can move on to my pick, which, once again, I'm the lone... as far as it not being animated. Mine is The Lost Boys, which is it was a movie back in the 80s, and it's basically just a vampire movie.
Yeah, I remember that.
Vampire movie done right. No sparkling, you know, vampires in the sunlight, no romance, falling in love, stupid shit like that.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you there. When they killed the first vampire, and then they ran out into the sun, they had glitter all over them. They totally did.
Okay, man. But that's not the main focus of it.
The infamous Twilight reference.
Wow. Just the fact that you noticed that, wow. But it's a pretty good movie. I think it holds up even now. I mean, of course, you can't expect it to be. You got to take it for what it is. It's an 80s movie.
Yeah.
Like you watch it, you see like the main two characters, the brothers. You see the younger brother, and you're like, wow, yeah. It just hits you 80s because the way he's dressed.
Yep.
Or like the girl with like the big poofy hair and the cutoff t-shirts, you know, the midriffs.
Yeah. But what I thought was interesting was that this has what's that guy's name? Kiefer Sutherland?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The guy Jack Bauer, I think.
Yeah.
That's him. Yep.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty funny that he's one of the main vampire guys in it.
And the late Corey Ham is in it, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, I mean, what did you guys think of it?
Back then, it was pretty darn good. Back then. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would, I mean, watching it now, I could probably say it had a, it was pretty interesting, but it had a good story to me. It had a pretty darn good story. I liked the story of it. It had a nice twist at the end.
Yeah, and that's why it still kind of holds up now. I mean, if you can, you know, get past the part that the 80s, you know, the style and the look of everything, you know, the story still kind of holds up.
And some of the lines were bad too, but man, I'm sorry, this movie just holds a special place in my heart, man, because you look at the Twilights today and all the, oh man, don't even get me started with all this vampirism today, like this androgynous vampirism. But I mean, it's just crazy because we go from the gritty vampirism from, you know, interview with the Vampire to Lost Boys to Dracula, the original. I mean, you know, those are vampires. You know, I mean, these, you know, these teeny boppers and these kids that walk outside and start glistening are not vampires. Like, you know, I mean, you know, because, you know, that's where they get their all their concepts come from, these movies. Like, you know, I mean, Lost Boys was just so awesome, man, because you had, despite how it sounds now, you had the soundtrack. Like, you can't tell me that music was not eerie back then.
Oh, it's still eerie now.
Yeah, it's still eerie now.
That is creepy. That is creepy.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I'm telling you, dude. When I was watching that movie back then, man, I was like, man, that's the creepiest music. Like, oh, man. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is the original, you know, if somebody's younger or hadn't watched the original Lost Boys, this is where all the new movies are getting their concepts from, and they kind of build upon this fiction. I like Keith Sutherland's, you know, character in the movie. Like I said, some of the lines are kind of cheesy when, like, I guess his brother was first turning into a vampire. He's like outside the window. He's like, help me. It's like, Mom, Michael's a vampire. He's trying to kill me. Oh, man. That was so funny.
What I thought was really funny was Corey Feldman's character was just so serious.
Oh, serious the whole time. I'm talking about stone face.
He was real serious. Oh, man.
Yeah. Another part, a part I really liked was when the little brother was like, "You want some Parmesan cheese? Here."
Oh, yeah.
It was just garlic, raw garlic.
He's like, "Oh, what is this?" He's like, "I love garlic." He was like, I know what you're trying to do. I'm not trying to push upon your mother."
Yeah, that whole line he did, that was probably one of the cheesiest parts.
Oh, man. That was funny.
But, I mean, it was the 80s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we haven't had all these movies where they've done those lines over and over again.
I still think it was the only corniest scene is when he shot one of the vampires with an arrow and he got electrocuted. I don't know what it was about that scene, but I still thought it was corny.
And then he ends it with death by stereo.
Oh my God, yes.
I would recommend checking out. I haven't seen the newest one. They have
two more.
I've seen the second one, the Tribe, and it's pretty good. It holds. I mean, it takes that same type of movie vibe to it, and continues on with it. Fashioned a lot better. It's more modern, of course, but and it's got the same guy in it. I can't remember his name.
Feldman.
Corey Feldman. Yeah. It's still got him in it, and I haven't seen the third one, but it's on Instant Watch. It's in my queue. But it's definitely more Lost Boys. I definitely would recommend that.
Now, was that one takes place in the same universe or in the same? Of course, it's not the same time period, of course. But are they playing the same characters, or is it just like something totally, totally new?
He's still, I think, Edgar Frog.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still that, but he makes a reference to, I guess, spoilers for the second one about how his brother got turned in, or they got to his brother or something like that.
Oh, okay.
In the second one,
So,
it's just him. It's not his brother, but I haven't seen the third one, which is The Thirst, but definitely if it's anything like the first or second, I'm definitely gonna like it. And all three are on Instant Watch, by the way, for our listeners.
Cool.
So, if you're interested in a good vampire movie, check it out. All right. I guess with that, Stuart, geek question of the week.
All right, geek question of the week. Now, I tried to word this in a way where non-Harry Potter people could understand it. But basically, if you had Polyjuice Potion, who would you turn into?
Yes, and the way you worded it, there were a bunch of people who just took it the wrong way, and
let's just say we have
made it a joke.
Two answers.
Alrighty, Stuart, what's your answer?
You know what? It was my question, and I don't even have an answer. I've been thinking about this one all day, and I just someone good looking. You know, pick up a chick real quick. That's all I got.
Wow.
Stay with me,
guys. I would turn into Justin Bieber so I could ruin his career. Because I'm sick and tired of hearing about him.
You know what? I thought about that, but I wasn't going to go there. But
I'm really tired of hearing about him. I hardly ever. I've only seen what he looks like twice or maybe three times. But
yeah, hey, you know what?
I hear about him everywhere.
His name is everywhere. Yeah.
It's on Twitter. You look on Twitter and see it.
I work in a middle school. How do you think I feel?
Oh, dude!
Wow.
That does suck. But yeah, that's my answer. Knox.
Man, I'm like Stuart, man. This is really hard because I love me. I don't want to be anybody else.
it's like it's Polyjuice potion. It's only temporary.
Oh, okay.
So you turn back to yourself because I wouldn't want to be Justin Bieber forever. Forget that.
Man, I want to be Bruce Lee, man.
Oh wow, Bruce Lee, that's a good one.
Bruce Lee, man, just fight against Chuck Norris and some of the greats and just go to town on people, man. Just having that dude's body and his physique and just the quickness of it, and oh man,
make another great kung fu movie for us all.
I know, right?
Yeah,
Enter the Dragon again.
Re-enter the dragon.
Re-enter the dragon.
Re-enter the dragon.
Ace, you got an answer?
The President of the United States, so I can give certain days off to my company or something like that. But definitely the President.
You got my vote. Days off.
I'll be declaring national holidays all over the place.
Killzone 3 launches. Everything's closed.
I really think this is a huge PlayStation 3 game, and a lot of the users are going to be using this game, so that definitely needs to be a national holiday.
You know, it also increases hand-eye coordination, you know.
And sales from the game will help with the economy.
That's what I would be. Definitely the President.
That's a great answer. But the big question is, what would we do with all these people? Why we're pretending to be them? Would we like hog tie them and stick them in a closet?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Hog tie the President.
The President's gonna be hard. That's gonna be pretty hard.
Just lock him in the bathroom when he's in there.
Well, I have a tough time with Bruce Lee. I'd be like, hey, Bruce, you know, they had told me that I had to tie you up, but I know I'm probably not going to be able to do that. So just sit here and I make you a cold drink while I just become you for a couple seconds, okay?
Yeah, you know he'll probably say, right? He'll probably be like, you cannot, and then you'll see his mouth still moving, but nothing's coming out. And then he'll say, B, and then he'll say, it'll be quiet again, me. Like in those old movies.
Don't take your eye off your opponent.
Don't think, already. Feel.
Stuart, feedback? We have some?
Yes,
some
we have two.
Some serious feedback?
Two. Yeah, two serious ones. From Twitter, Tenpan Alley just says Julius Caesar. That's it. That's all he says.
Julius Caesar.
Okay. That'd be interesting.
And Deekster said, I want to be Pope John Paul II. Since he died and is on track for sainthood, I'd like to see what heaven is like for a day.
Well, that's one of the ones that doesn't really apply to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You would just look like them on Earth. You
true.
Become them when they're dead. But
you would freak everybody out.
Yeah, that's true. I guess if you're looking, Fadios, he also said he would like to be Oprah so he could experience what it's like to be rich and a woman. Something along those words. But,
yes, and
I'm paraphrasing,
he also gave in a couple other suggestions that I'm not even going to read.
She just found her long lost sister, by the way, and
seriously?
Yeah, and she put it like this. Her sister is pretty well off now.
God, that's got to be that's got to be the biggest problem, being rich. It's like all of a sudden you got so many sisters and brothers saying, oh, yeah, we're related. We're related, all right. You're a billionaire? Okay, yeah, I'm your long-lost brother. I may be white, but I'm still your brother. But, yeah. That would definitely be interesting. And Fadios as Oprah. Wow.
That doesn't surprise me, with being Fadios.
But, and that's all, Stuart?
Yeah, let's end it there.
Alrighty. I guess we can start to wrap this up. You know, you can view our Geek Questions of the Week on Twitter, you know, twitter.com/thegeeksftw, or you can search on Facebook, you know, thegeeksftw. You can send us an email, you know, and if you have any feedback at all on the show, on any of our topics, you know, thegeeksftw@gmail.com. You can send us a voice message at our voice line at 1-347-GEEK-FTW. That's also 1-347-433-5389. You can also leave us, you know, iTunes reviews. We like those. You know, we definitely like those, and we'll give you a shout-out. I know Zabari, I think, is our last one. He left us one last week, I think. So, thanks, Zabari. He does great work over at the Section Z cast. Definitely loving that show. And you can also
the award-winning Zabari.
The award-winning Zabari.
Award-winning Zabari. Yep.
The Velvet Voice Award. Oh baby.
You can also view our show, our show live on Ustream. We normally tweet the links. We try to get started around 7:30 Central Standard, 8:30 Eastern, but you know, it takes us 15 minutes, 20 minutes maybe to actually get up and running, cuz set up all the equipment, but
yeah. So if you show up on the Ustream and we're not live, wait a minute.
Yes, wait.
Or it's probably my fault.
But and you know, do we have any Ustream viewers right now?
No. I don't. Okay. We didn't get any. Like, no. Well, nobody signed in. Like, we actually had a bunch of guests, but
I think
we don't know who
a
they
lot.
Were.
I think a lot of people are actually recording today as well, like the OFR guys, and I think
no,
somebody.
No, because Tin Pan's aunt had a birthday. So
yeah.
Oh, okay. Because they told me I actually got an invite yesterday, asking to be on the show, and I was like, we record that time, so, and all of them are online, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe they are. Everybody had like President's Day off, probably, or had like a half day or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, feedback various ways. Now I guess it's time for shout outs. Ace, you want to go first since you're our guest?
Yeah, man. Shout out to you guys. I really appreciate you bringing me on. Just give me a buzz anytime you guys want me to come on again. I really enjoyed wrapping it up with you guys.
Follow us, you know.
Oh, well, I'm following you now. Thank
we'll
you very
be able
much.
To DM you because, you know, we got to go see a couple secretaries and talk to the Ace Black. You know?
Oh, please, Mr. Killzone 3 bundle trying to get it early. Anyway, shout out to my big buddy there, Deekster. Just want to give a big shout out to him. Shout out to all my tag brothers. Shout out to Blue Man Rule and all my open form radio brothers. And that's it.
Already. Yeah, but see, Knox, the thing you should have done, you should have told them you were the Ace Black. You would have gotten that bundle. You would have gotten it early. They would have been like, oh, right away.
Right, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Should have just pulled that card out. But Knox, shout out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, shout out to the usual people. Everybody at OFR, everybody at Scarcasm Live. Shout out to Sherry Scoba, big pimping man. Appreciate you calling me this past week. Had a nice conversation. Shout out to everybody here, all the writers, Dark DJ, Elf, everybody, Cookie. Shout out to Shout out to Cerebral Strike. He hit me up on Twitter, and we went to a breakfast meetup, and we met Paris, met Jay. Shout out to Lefty Brown. Shout out to a couple other community members. Man, that was pretty nice, man. We had a nice little breakfast sit down. Got to pick those guys' brain, drop some knowledge, drop some personal issues, and just conversated, man. Really, video games was like the low thing on the totem pole that we talked about. So shout out to everybody over at Tag Community. Shout out to Super Q of the Geeks with Color. I don't know, man. Just shout out to everybody.
Shout out to the world.
There you go.
Alrighty, Stuart.
I would like to also shout out the writers. You know, you guys are awesome. But I'd also like to shout out Turtle Beach for making awesome headsets.
Yep, shout out to them too. Yes, sir.
I own. Sounds like all of us own them.
Do you guys have the surround the stereo ones or the surround sound ones?
I got the stereo ones.
I have
stereo.
Yeah, I got the surround sound ones. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Alrighty. And I guess, you know, shout out to Ace for coming on. We were actually playing Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and you were asking about when you're going to come on.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, you want to come on? Okay. How about, you know, next episode?
You know I like the tech talk, so I'll definitely go on there. Yeah, that'll work.
Alrighty, and we love talking tech, too. shout out to Deshane Vox, because for a couple reasons, he actually has been leaving us feedback on the site in the comments. Last episode, he left us a lengthy comment. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to check that out, but you may want to. And he also sent me a Xbox Live wireless adapter.
Oh, cool.
I was just tweeting one day about how I can't believe they're still so expensive because, you know, they've come out with the Slims that have the, you know, wireless built in.
Yeah.
So therefore the adapter should be cheaper.
Right.
And he said, you know, I got a Slim. I have a wireless G adapter still. If you want it, I'll send it to you. And I was like, really? How much? He was like, oh, just next time you got something you don't like, you know, pass it on to somebody.
Oh,
and I was
cool.
Like, wow, thanks, dude.
Wow, that is cool.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He sent it, I think, end of last week, and it got here. Sometime last week, and it got here at on Saturday, I think. So yeah, it's crazy.
That's cool because those things are still expensive. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely thankful for that. Just shout outs to the rest of the OFR community. You know, if you leave us feedback, you know, we'll definitely give you a shout out because we value feedback because that just helps us get better and improve.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, shout out to Shaywort and Fadio's My New Stalker. We played a little bit of Borderlands. I went from, like, level 5 to, like, level 14. So if you guys have it, man, I'm always down for some Borderlands whenever I get time, which is usually on Fridays. But if you catch me throughout the week, man, just hit me up, man, because I'm seriously digging some Borderlands. I skipped that game a long time ago, but it's most definitely a buy.
Oh, definitely. And you say Borderlands, I look up and get a grin on my face. 277 hours in that game.
Wow.
Yeah. I had so many groups of friends to jump in and play with. So, but and also want to give a shout out to Paul Ladian. He won the OFR Black Ops contest.
Oh, good
iTunes.
Deal. Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I got it from the horse's mouth.
Paul Ladian.
It's Pauladin.
Pauladin?
Yep.
I thought he said Pauladin.
I thought it was Paul, too. Okay, Pauladin.
Did he say Pauladin?
Pauladin. Pauladin? Pauladin. I'm second-guessing myself now. I forget what I said. Formerly known as Fester.
Right.
Formerly known as iFester. Yeah. And I guess with that, this has been episode 33 of The Geeks for the Win, and we will see you next time.
All right.
Bye.
Peace out.
Adios.
Bubba, look, we got to talk about the OFR Sportscast.
I don't even want to talk about the Sportscast.
In the 40 cast, dude.
No, I'll talk about Geeks for the Win.
Is that all? Just Geeks for the Win? What about prove your point?
You prove your point. What is your point? I don't even understand what we're doing. I thought we were supposed to be doing a commercial or something.
In the Section Z, you can't forget the Section Z podcast or the Angry Mailman podcast.
Angry Mailman podcast.
Dude, just go to openformradio.com.
All right.
Fine.